You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
15 centuries after China invented banknotes, the nature of money is set to fundamentally change. And back then, in the Tang Dynasty of 1618 to 907, paper money was a little more than an IOU and became known as flying cash because, unlike metal money of the time, it had a tendency to blow away. And it might seem that money is already virtual because we've got credit cards and payment apps like SnapScan and Zappa in South Africa and WeChat in China, really eliminating the need for paper notes or coins. But those are just ways to move money electronically around. China is now turning legal tender itself into computer code, launching its own cryptocurrency. But what does this mean as we face the prospects of a cyber yuan? It certainly raises a few interesting questions. Bronwyn Williams, who's a futurist, economist, and business trends analyst at Flux Trends, sparked the conversation on Twitter with me recently. Bronwyn, welcome. And because you do economics for fun and read the future trends to pay the bills, it's always great to have these sorts of chats. How have you been?
Great, thanks for yourself. Thanks so much for inviting me back.
Yeah, very good, thank you. And when I saw the story, just saw dystopian nightmare writ large. Now, earlier this year, we saw celebrations in China to mark the Lunar New Year of the Ox, and that began in February. And they were somewhat muted, obviously, because of the pandemic. And I read that the numbers of people traveling to visit relative this to last year and the year before were really down. But it wasn't all gloom, because what we saw Chinese authorities doing in several cities was giving away tens of millions of renminbi as New Year. They called them red packets, and they were downloaded onto a smartphone. And that was really the first signal that the Chinese authorities are conducting these trials for a crucial new technology. It could lead the world's adoption of digital currencies. What do you make of it?
Well, yeah, when it comes to China's central bank digital currency, they actually started testing this around about a year ago. So it was April last year. So they've been developing this under cover of COVID, if you want to put it that way. But it seems like it's ready to get some time in the sun. As you have mentioned, it's a bit different to something like a credit card or electronic funds transfer in that the coins or that digital currency actually resides on the user's device and is attributed directly to that user. It means that people can send this currency to each other directly, peer-to-peer, and also directly peer-to-peer cross-border. So it cuts almost all the middlemen out of the financial system other than the central bank. And that's what makes these central bank digital currencies different to private borderless crypto money like your bitcoins, etc. They've got that central banking authority has complete surveillance over this entire digital yuan currency that they've created and complete ability to manipulate that. So that central bank can take coins away from me, give them to you, change the exchange rate, change the interest rate, change the supply, or even add an expiry date to these things to force you to spend them really at will. So currently, if our government wants to interfere in our bank accounts, they would have to do exactly that, go through the bank, get an order, and then be able to sort of manipulate your money, as we know governments can do. But this cuts out all of those different middlemen and gives that central bank, which is obviously in control of the central government on that side, full control over that digital currency. So a lot of people are saying this is really sort of full service surveillance money. It's probably the best way to put it. So although it looks very similar to a cryptocurrency like a Bitcoin, in reality, it's almost the polar opposite, the yin to yang, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Where we talk about decentralization in the crypto world, this is absolute centralization. Could you imagine the digital renminbi is going to put every transaction onto the radar of the People's Bank of China? Imagine what that means. Would you want the government to know exactly what you are spending your money on all the time? And one wonders how the adoption of something like this would go. I suppose if we're talking about China, it is still a fairly authoritarian society. So if they want to go ahead with it, there's very little stopping them.
Yeah, exactly. So when it comes to a sort of new world of money, we have these two opposite forces. Like I said, you've got the private borderless digital currencies that are really gaining a lot of speed at the moment, but you're also seeing the same technology being used to, as you said, centralize power into very few government hands. Now, it all comes down to the strength of the state, how effective they're going to be able to manipulate these projects going to the future. If you are going to want something like fully automated surveillance money, like the digital yuan, to take off, you really are going to have full control over both the physical and the financial layers of your society, because you have to be able to stop all on-ramps and off-ramps to prevent people using other currencies or to be using private cryptocurrencies too. So you really have to have a lot of force and the will to use that force to enforce these projects, because, of course, there's nothing worse than having almost entire control, because, you know, with capital outflows, you know, if you make your capital outflows too tight, you actually encourage people or restrict people from being able to move their currencies offshore. They tend to want to do more of it because you want to escape that black box system. So in order to have those sort of very effective capital controls, both domestically and internationally, you have to have a high degree of control over all the layers of your society. That's why we can sort of see these things being very useful in a very totalitarian, very organized state that has strong control over all those different layers of their society. Either for a more weaker state that does not have control over physical and digital on-ramps and off-ramps, what this does is becomes very, very destabilizing. So if something like the South African Reserve Bank was to try to do something like this, we could expect things like inflation and like massive capital outflows as people look for those leaks and those exits in the buckets. That would be a sort of overview perspective there. Mm. I think the other issue we're talking about here when it comes to China in particular is how they're doing this not just as a move to control the domestic market and to sort of tighten that so-called white flight curtain, as I like to speak about it, but also really as a power play against dollar hegemony. Because what this means is that people will be able to use this digital yuan as a means of remittance. As people are already doing in South Africa using Bitcoin, for example, they would now be able to use the Chinese currency. It's quite interesting to say they're going to be issuing this stuff to athletes coming into the Olympics, which really is a power move right in the dollar space. Because this gives China a lot of leverage outside of that dollar-based global economy. And it means they're able to avoid things like dollar-based sanctions for behaving badly in the sort of global economy too, which is very, very interesting from a geopolitical perspective.
Absolutely. It plays into this bipolar world that we no longer have the unipolarity of the sole superpower of the US, certainly Beijing trying to assert its supremacy there. And also for investors, Bronwyn, in South Africa, to have a look at what this ultimately means in the battle between Beijing and Ant Group and Tencent, because it's a vast e-payments market over there that's dominated by those two huge private companies. And we saw recently how Beijing cracked down on Jack Ma's Ant Group and Tencent's WeChat Pay as well. That could have ramifications for shareholders in LastPass and Prosus.
Yeah, Kira, I wouldn't want to make a bet as to whether it will be good or bad for those companies at this point, because it gives them, of course, it means that the Chinese sort of government and the Chinese Communist Party have more control over these entities. But the same way, that could actually be to their benefit in the short term if that is where that consumer base is, if it's on the more sort of domestic side of the market. In terms of shareholders themselves, you just have to be very, very careful with these things, in that we're dealing with an entirely new game here, and these rules aren't set up neatly. We don't know what these new sorts of highly manipulable currencies are going to do to all of our macro and microeconomic models. It's a whole new game, and it allows vast new levers of power to be used to manipulate markets. And if they can be used to manipulate share prices down, they can probably be used to manipulate them up too. We should just understand that the rules of the game have fundamentally changed. And in fact, there really are no rules. It comes down to the whim of the central power who's controlling these things.
As the cover of Time magazine said boldly, or questioned boldly, is fiat dead in its March issue? Certainly something we're going to be discussing on the panel a little bit later on as well. Bronwyn Williams, futurist, economist, and business trends analyst at Flux Trends, with the digital renminbi.